Welcome back to another episode of the Dane and Josh Show, presented by Milk for Health. We were a little bit busy the past few months, and we figured we'd bring a friend, old friend, new friend.
Old friend, new friend. Some teammates, Chase Fraser, Chris Cloutier, Ian McKay. Stay tuned. We're talking about MVP performances. No kids are safe. It's going to be a good one. All right, it's been about a year ago, and you know, it feels a little bit like deja vu with all the boys here, but appreciate you guys jumping on.
Absolutely, happy to be here.
How's everybody doing?
Got a tea time later, so let's keep this quick.
He's not kidding.
Oh, man. You've been hitting them pretty well lately, huh?
Been trying to. We had a little trip with some teammates, Farrell and Weiser. We were on Long Island. I didn't want to disrespect you there, but
thank you, appreciate that.
Pretty cool. Played Bethpage Black, pretty good course, and then Montauk Downs.
I just want to say I didn't lose a ball, and people's not one ball.
No, it was actually kind of impressive.
Good for you.
The banana slice too.
No one knows what it is.
All right. Well, enough about golf. Obviously, it's been a fun ride, and. You know, before we get to the finals, kind of want to just walk through a little bit of the journey, and starting off with San Diego. Obviously, just a scary, you know, winner goes home, or no, it's not winner goes home.
Loser goes home.
But it feels like that. It feels like it's like a, you know, it's the scariest one because it's a one and done, right?
So I felt more nervous during that game than I think any other playoff game that we had throughout the year, which is kind of crazy. I mean, I think the 1 vs. 8, you're expected to win, but this year I felt like San Diego kind of got the short end of the stick being 8. They should have been the top 4 team, in my opinion. So it was definitely scary, and to win what 5-4 or whatever it may be, thanks to Vino and Mickey, that kind of helped a lot. So it's so weird. Like I felt the same the year before. Like we're one game away from not winning a championship 2 years back to back, and that's how it goes.
It also feels like it was 3 months ago. Yeah, like when we were talking before this started that we're going to be doing it was like, I don't even really remember much of the game because it was so long ago.
But I think it might have to do with your bender you've been on as well.
That's true. You can tell by my voice. It's been
a pretty good one. Everything's a blur.
See, that is a game, you know, for most of us to forget. You know, I can't imagine how really airy feels letting up 5 goals and still losing.
Yeah, it's definitely tough.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, thankfully with Vino and net, just a dominant performance with him, and yeah, we obviously need that guy back pretty bad. Yeah, so if you're watching
hopefully
this,
he's watching this. Yeah.
If you need a babysitter, Vino, let me know.
Don't let Dan do it.
We actually have a clip here. And sad enough to say, I think this was our last goal of the game.
We didn't score in the second half, right?
Yeah. So, and this is literally the last goal with like what? It was like a second left in the game. This is our set play. So we'll go through it. It's fucky here. Yeah. Yep. Obviously, we've been working on this one for a while and trying to get old Dane Smith to get his hands back and.
Grab me. So I said, you want to go for a ride? Let's ride.
Yeah. It's, I wish this clip was a little bit longer because after you see Courier just get up being like, what the hell was that?
That's bully ball, bud. Yeah. Open the playoffs. Yeah.
Those are the type of like plays that like make our identity. Everybody talks about like everybody wants to score a goal on our offense and we can be selfish at times and stuff like that. But he sets his pick and we score and he's celebrating to the fans like he scored the game winning goal, and it just goes to show like his character, and I don't want to hype you up too much, but that was an awesome pick. Thank you.
It's the energy that we needed. I mean, I guess you might need a little more of it in the second half.
I don't know what happened. Tank went from full to empty real quick on that one.
It's impressive too because we might be the worst dunking team in the league. Like we've tried it so many times, we drew up plays for it, and like. could barely get it.
Get the guy on the wrong side of the floor sometimes.
Yeah. Coach is looking up and being like, is that allowed? Are we allowed to do that? Like,
challenges anyway.
He's like, sir, please, let's have a look at this. It is funny. You just slow-mo. I wish I could slow-mo it. Bucky's so good at that, man. So good at that. Why do you think that, you know, that San Diego team gave us fits offensively?
Their defense is really good.
Yeah. Like, they're athletic. They play a different style. Like, they're a team that, like, is really good at pressuring early on. Yeah. So by the time you get into an offense, you're at, like, 15 to 12 seconds.
Danny Logan has a lot to do with that, that pressure that he puts out, right?
Yeah. Obviously, Irregularity. Yeah. Like,
he's a different goalie, than a lot of the goalies. Like, a lot of the goalies are similar, but he stands a little taller, has a weirder stance. It's, like, tall and wide somehow.
I felt like he did a good job of, like, scouting guys and understanding where guys wanted to shoot. I found scoring on a little bit was – I was like, okay, you're kind of getting to places before I'm even getting there, which as a young goaltender, it's pretty impressive. This next clip, I think we were all kind of giving it to Weiser a little bit. And he was – yeah, let's just watch it. I don't even want to give him his flowers here, but this is –
It was impressive.
Do you remember this one? Oh, puts the brakes on. Yeah. For a ride.
Yeah. I'm a good lacrosse player, and I don't understand how.
It doesn't make sense.
You'd walk in the locker room, you'd be like, this guy is not an athlete. And he shows up every game and does some crazy stuff and brings that energy. Which is
insane, because we were talking about, like, with Logan pressuring us and TV timeout and stuff like that. He's like, just put me on the field. I'll run past him. And I was like, yeah, buddy. You're not going to break anyone's ankles. And he came right to the bench. He's like, I told you. I was like,
he's sneaky fast. Yeah. Like, he's got the jets.
Next.
Talk about flipping a switch, though. Like, he's a guy that you think doesn't even like lacrosse. And then when the game comes around, he's like the best player on the floor and like screaming and way more into 100%. It than everyone.
Yeah.
But at practice, you're like,
where is he?
Like, he's like jokes around and like makes you think he hates the game.
Yeah, right. It's all
No, it's funny. He's like the roadrunner. Yeah. Like, sometimes he just like gets into those moods and like he's just flying around, sweet, pressuring guys, like chopping at guys. And like during the regular season, you're like, oh, he's gonna take a penalty. There it is. Yeah, there it is.
But he's actually pretty. He doesn't take as many penalties as you think.
No,
not as many as Josh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, somebody's gotta step up. No one wants to be tough on this offense, so it's gotta be me. Right? Yeah.
Tough isn't taking a penalty, buddy.
Yeah. It is.
Well, suck. I had to take Shanks down a couple times. Yeah. And when you can't score, you got to do something to affect the game.
You're writing my name down. It doesn't matter where, you're writing it down.
Thankfully, we won that. And then obviously, you know, next round we head into Vancouver. And that was really, I feel like, you know, a coming out party for you. Obviously, all season was a bit of that as well. But playoffs is a different beast, and it's hard to kind of, you know, really dig in there. Like, what was your thought process going into that Vancouver series?
I put a lot of focus on Delbs because, like everyone does, and the talk of him coming back off the couch and getting traded, and Vancouver obviously went on a pretty good run once they got him, and just watching the game before, I think it was they played Rochester in the first round. And watching Ryan Smith and how he shot on him. And I tried to take a lot of that. Like, I don't know if this is the one we're going to watch, but my one twister goal was like, I was practicing that because I saw Smithers get that one. And
we're going to watch and find out here. There's probably about 10 of them. So,
you got them all?
Yeah. I don't even know what's going on here. What are we doing? What happened here?
Dane takes a hit.
Oh,
180 pass.
Oh, yeah.
Take a hit to make a play. Is that what you tell the young kids? Yeah. Doesn't happen often.
Which is funny. Because I remember you, like, you went down like someone shot you.
Oh, no, it was this one. There's a different one. We were on the ground giving the crowd.
I was like, what happened? What happened?
That was a high risk, high reward one, though, because it's like so late in the shot clock.
Yeah.
Like, if you throw that and it's off, it's throwing them on a breakaway or on an odd man rush. But
and they're flying around. Yeah, I mean, it is crazy because, like, even, like, I think we played them the first time Delves was in net.
It was, like their second game
or something like that. So it was, like, you know, regular season was tough to kind of get a read on what kind of defense they were going to play around him, how he was going to play with that. And then, obviously, you know, they go on a 7-0 run with him, and beating us included. Yeah. You know, it was there's a lot of talk going around about, you know, them being, you know, pretty tough team, and they were, man. They're big, strong, athletic defenders. Delves is obviously a great goalie. You were having some fun, you know, pushing guys around and dummying people. Yeah. I don't know what else happened in that Vancouver series. I feel like there was something. Oh, I don't even want to talk about this either. I don't really want to talk about this one either.
What's your friend's name? You call him Pat?
Pat.
Yeah.
I mean, talked about this pass. Like, what do you mean? I shouldn't have passed it. This would never happen, right?
Just shoot the ball then. The fame's all yours, I guess.
No, but it's,
there's a look at the crowd.
Yeah, there it is. This is what we need out of you, 95.
Yeah, bully ball. Yeah.
Wow. Points to the thing.
Like, that's it.
Like, most people would just keep the momentum going and you just stop
forehand
and then go between the legs. Like,
I feel like I didn't catch it cleanly, so I was like making sure that I had the ball. And then I was like, oh, here.
Yeah, let's put it between my legs. Make this easy on myself.
Your reaction to that goal is what other people should have reacted like. You're like, oh, wow.
That actually worked again. Like, yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you surprise yourself.
Yeah, I mean.
Look at his face after. He's like, whoa, did that really just happen?
First of all, got to call the goal yourself. Hey, like, that's a goal. Case anyone else missed that. It's a good goal. You guys like that?
Are you not entertained?
Yeah, you must have family in that corner, right?
Yeah, that's where all the fam was sitting up there.
I don't think what gets talked
about. My brothers were going nuts.
Lefties keeping their guys occupied over there, so there's no slide.
Hold on, can we look at Klooch? Hold on, watch Klooch here.
This one.
Watch Klooch.
Stinky, gross.
He's like, ew, dude. Ew. Ugh. Daddy.
For like 10 yards, just.
Amazing.
Oh, a lot of fun. Couldn't do it without you, Dane. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're very welcome. But
Mickey also said the lefties were keeping the other side occupied. So
thanks for not getting murdered.
they're definitely a great team and a physical team and well coached. And I think that was what we needed to kind of get over that hump to feel a little bit more confident. I don't know. It's one of those things where everybody was talking about them, and I felt like we were kind of the underdogs going into that game. So it was kind of a good feeling for sure.
They're also no quit team. Like, yeah. Anytime we got up or anytime we had any momentum, I was like, they're going to come back. They're not going to stop.
So, right.
Yeah. I mean, they punched us in the mouth. And yeah. That first half, I was like, what is going on? Like, it was tough to even, you know, kind of get our feet under us.
Score those two back to back in the third. Like, oh. Early. Yeah.
Like, well, that was, and that just shows you like how good of a coach, you know, Mouse is. Yeah. You could tell like from the first four shifts, it was like, oh, they're going early. They're attacking us early. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we kind of saw, you know, getting into the SAS series. But it's like they saw something, they're like, we need to change it up. And coming out of the third, it was like one pass in the corner, you know, Charlotte Bees going right down the middle, catching it, and they're throwing it at him and not caring about shot clock or anything like that. They're trying to go early. Same thing with who's the other, the tall kid, lefty? Claridge. Young kid. He's same thing, just like had no fear. It was like, I'm just going to shoot this thing. Yeah. And like kind of caught everyone by surprise. So
I definitely do think that we had the hardest route at being the number one seed, which is like kind of unheard of. We played like the top three defenses in our league besides ours. And it's just kind of crazy to think about. But if you want to win it all, this special thing, you got to go through the best. And I think we definitely deserve it and earned it. But I think when we come back, we'll talk about a little bit of the finals. How's that sound?
Yeah,
let's get into it. Right on.
All right, we're back, and obviously, gotta talk about, you know, the most important series the finals, playing Saskatchewan. Again, another great, you know, very well ran team, you know, younger team, but, you know, a team that's also been there before with a few of their guys with Churchy and them. What do you think the biggest challenge was, you know, playing Sask?
I mean, I think going into the week, we obviously had a bye week. They played another thing. So that's just an excuse for them, like for us, I guess, and or the league to kind of write the script like, okay, like we don't deserve a bye week, all that stuff. We're a lot older. I feel like we deserved it. We're the number one seed. You should get a bye week in general. That being said, I think they're just a top team from the coaching staff to their low end players. Like they're just very well coached. They're very well schemed. And they just, they're very unselfish on offense. Close, so you never knit. Know where the ball's going to be. What's that? Yeah.
Close knit as well. Like yeah. They yeah. all like hang out together.
100%.
Boys. Yeah. Like a lot, very similar to our team.
Correct.
In but, that way, which yeah. I think plays a huge factor.
Well, I think a bunch of them live and market there too.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Same, like you're saying, like same thing here. And I think, you look at Colorado when we played them too, they had a bunch of guys live in market. Like, I think that's a really big thing for a team in a locker room.
Totally.
To get close. But they're also just a young athletic team, like try to push the floor like crazy. They weren't as aggressive as like Vancouver and San Diego were, but like different style of defense, but still like trying to push transition, all that kind of thing. So
yeah, no, game one was definitely you know, it was good, but it was a little bit of a feeling out process. You know, in years past, even like Colorado, it felt like it's like, okay, you know, we've played them before. We know what it's going to look like. You know, it's going to be a bloodbath. Whereas like Sask, you just didn't really know how they're going to play us, you know, what adjustments we'd have to make. You know, obviously there's some pretty good mic'd up that came out of, was that game one with you?
Game one was me, yeah.
There's you and Hogs are talking strategy here. I don't even know. I would love to know what you two talk about on the bench, and I'm glad we're getting a bit of an inside scoop here.
Anytime we carry high from low, and we're like one of us is setting a pick, let's empty out early to the crease because like if they're pressing these lefties, we can't swing it anyways. Okay. So then it's just a throw down. Push your guy and we're going anyway.
There's no way you understood that.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Majority of our conversations are just decided on like basically in a sense of like who's grabbing the ball or like what guy, like what kind of pick do we want, where do we want to get to the floor, in a sense of like, especially if we're on like the two-man side in the second and fourth, which we kind of did all season until game three when we decided to change things up, was just, yeah, picking it out of the ball and trying to get it over the top. But if you guys are occupying the left side with the hook picks, you're trying to get that shot where the lefty's out, we're going to take it underneath and just try and get on the same page with all that kind of stuff with him.
Back, yeah. No, it's funny to hear you guys' thoughts and stuff on that. Because obviously, like, us lefties are a little bit different in the way we do things and talk about stuff. But between, yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic with, like, you, Bucky, and then Hogs, and you.
Half the time, if I'm saying anything, it's say, yo, who do you want me to pick, and where do you want me to put them? Like, where do you want to be on the floor, and I'll get you there. Like, that's kind of like where I just kind of, that's my questions and stuff that I do.
There's a JT mic'd up, and I don't even know what this is.
Flashes through the middle, now sets the screen. Smith, on Manson here.
What, the first time I've seen him reach. Hey, see that?
Yeah, it costs.
He reached his arm.
That's,
does that count as a crease time?
Come on, man. Wow.
Still slide a credit card.
That seems to you. He was pretty proud of me there, though. Hilarious. He was excited, yeah.
Happy man. He looked me dead in the face. He was like, man, I was just a proud dad right there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty. I mean, to be honest with you, like, yeah, I don't know. I think he meant dive and reach.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't even know.
Fall and reach or dive?
As a dive?
That's considered a dive. It wasn't a good one. It was a dive.
Your feet are supposed to come off the ground.
One did, I think.
That's a fall.
Oh, yeah. And
so, like, obviously, game one, tight game. Going into SAS, like, what are our thoughts kind of going into that game? I feel like, I don't know. It's always... I don't want to say distraction, but when you're up one going into game two, it's like there's so many people there, like family members, whatever it may be, staff, all this stuff. And it's amazing, but it's just not what we're used to, I guess you could say. And what are your thoughts on like kind of going into game two?
My thoughts were my foot looks massive.
And it was.
Thing was big. I forgot about this. That's game one.
Yeah, game one. Yeah.
Game first one. Shift? First shift.
First shift of the game.
First shift. You come out and I think you try to go underneath. And then, like, what happened?
Yeah, I tried to go underneath, low in the shot clock. And then I was going at the crease and I tried to stay out. And Jay was on my back and he pushed me as I tried to plant to stay out of the crease. And I rolled the out of my ankle, like just completely over. It's still to this day, probably double the size of my other one.
Yeah, so. That was gnarly. Wild. And like, you know, obviously you went away for a couple shifts, probably got taped or braced or something.
They tried to tape it and it made it worse. I couldn't even walk in the back hall. I said, take the tape off. Like, let me try the brace. The brace made it a little bit better. Yeah. And then they gave me some Motrin and said, good luck.
A bunch of nice pat on the ass and say, yeah, good luck.
But it was first shift, and like in my head, I knew how bad my ankle was, but I was like, Mickey and Josh are gonna be screwed if I don't figure out a way to at least put together a couple shifts here and there. Like, it worked out. So like, you guys are both athletic enough that you could play almost every shift. But whenever you guys need a break, I just kind of went out there and skipped around.
Which is crazy because like watching you, I was like, I knew your ankle was bad, but like, and like, I could see you were running, you were limping a little bit, but like, it didn't really look like it was hurting. And I'm like, oh, let's go. Like, game comes to an end and you pull, you take it out. And I'm like, oh my God, that's not an ankle.
Yeah.
It's broken. It's gonna be
broken. Yeah. Yeah. Has to be broken. Yeah.
It was like a softball and a half in there.
Yeah. Paulie was sitting beside me and Ryan took my brace off and he just like, he had some sort of reaction. I was like, did you see that before they put the ice on? He goes, no, I just saw your face when you looked at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that's obviously just insanity that you even came back and played on that thing, because yeah, it looked like it was broken. And I think I told you, even though they said it wasn't broken, I was like, they might want to double check.
Yeah. And they did. Yeah. Triple check, dude.
I think kind of a little bit off script, but what we were talking about earlier is like going into game two also, like if we don't win that, say, and it's in the back of your mind, then they have the momentum, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have the momentum going into game two, right? If we do not win that game, it switches. And I feel like leading up to game three, I don't want to get ahead of myself by any means, but like we didn't have a complete game. We were just kind of struggling to like, as an offense at least, like we...
It was tough, man.
Right.
Game two was very tough, and they came out flying. They came out like the first five. Like, we knew, and we talked about it, and we were like, okay, we know that they're going to come out and do something and change something up,
yeah.
Right? And the first quarter was one of the most insane quarters I've been like, They're trying to kill us, and they punch us square in the mouth, and we didn't really have an answer for it. And that kind of, you know, bled on. I think in the second period we started to kind of figure it out a little bit more. But obviously, you know, you didn't play in that game too, right?
Yeah.
All right, that.
Yeah.
So Clay had to jump in, and it's always a tough spot. But he had a nice goal here. I think we. Oh, my bad.
Go to a net.
Yeah.
So soft. It's crazy because he's the type of player that like kind of got thrown into our lineup early in the season because I believe you were hurt. And for a young rookie to go into play a season, he played more games than like any rookie usually does. And he played well and he just kind of kept getting better as the season went on. And it's going to happen, yes, but like he played some big minutes for us down the stretch, and especially in this game, he... Still water bug, hustle player, and it was kind of great to see.
He's also just like, he plays different than like the three of us. Like, yeah. And you insert him in a game. Obviously, we didn't win this game, but like now, like, yeah, you can just be like, oh, like he's their third lefty or whatever. But like, I mean, he goes and bangs around. He's got really good hands around the crease, kind of squirrely, and like takes advantage of his opportunities. So it's,
Yeah,
and it's hard for a team to like.
And not to mention, man, like, just a great overall team guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you know, obviously, I think he played game one of playoffs, and then got pulled out, right? And it'd be really easy for him to kind of be like, you know, like frustrated about it or whatever. But he was like very just like, hey, like especially being in the lefty line with him all the time, like just. Happy-go-lucky, just always wants to be around the boys.
Well, he doesn't take shots during the game unless the opportunity is 100%, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, for him to get those opportunities, it's because, I don't know, it's just, like, it's weird. So he'll get, like, 1 to 3 opportunities a game, and if he doesn't score, it's like, oh, he had a bad game, but it's not the case by any means. No. And, I that's kind of where it's, like, it's just different, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I'd say shorter leash is... but it's weird, like
yeah. I mean, it's just it is what it is. But just very proud of the way that he was able to like bounce back and be such a great team guy. There's another clip here that I don't really want to talk about, but I guess we will. This guy's basically just a freaking human highlight reel at this point. And it wasn't even Dane passing the ball, which is crazy.
Why?
That's what I gotta ask. Why? What's going on in your head here?
Why not?
It's crazy. You have a step. You could have went underneath.
Yeah, could have went underneath.
Yeah, but why? Could have.
Did I?
Hold on. You step. Yep. You have, oh, here. Here you go.
Yeah, but
I mean, I guess the angle. But like you're strong enough and quick enough to get across there.
Yeah, the ordinary stuff wasn't working on.
Watch one's reaction on this one.
Well, yeah, no, I just decided to throw that in just a wild angle of just getting to that far side with the stick from a different angle.
You use your left hand here, right?
Yeah.
Like most people are right hand dominant. Yeah. And like for you to be able to pull that off with your left hand, like is just like ridiculous.
And the through the legs was with his right hand.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. That was this one. This one was this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate to say it, poor barnacle. Man.
He ended up on a couple of like bad ends of TSN turning points.
Yes. Probably just having nightmares of you. Which
I think it's worse for goalies.
Well,
like
I'm sure we'll see the game 3-1 as well. But like, that's got to be like for us. That's like gives us a little bit extra swagger, a little pep in our step. Like, it's good for us. And then like you're saying for a goalie, like obviously goalies are taught like have a quick memory, but like that happens on you. That's got to be pretty
right. It's all over related. Social media. Yeah, like whatever it is.
Especially going into a game 3 and like
right.
People are all over that. Like, yeah,
100%. You're not even talking about the game. They're talking about the highlight reels. Right.
Yeah. And we lost that game.
Right? Which it's is
like, that's what.
The that's what's like why I guess lost the game, but still it wasn't talked about that we lost the game. It was like that. It was
yeah.
Also, like what was a little bit of the chatter was, you know, shoot around. It's shoot around. They're kind of, you know, at the end of our shoot around, try to come on early or whatever it was. If we were late, they were early.
It was,
you know.
It was a buffer period.
It was a buffer period. 8:46 or 8:45, 8:46. 8:45 when it started, 8:46 when I looked at the clock. And that's when we ended. And they started at 9. So, like, there's that 15-minute buffer for a reason. That
and they're sitting on the bench.
Yeah, sitting on the bench. And you take a couple of balls and a water bottle.
Dude, I remember seeing him, like, on the bench. And I remember, like, saying something, like, are you lost or whatever?
Yeah.
And then I picked up a ball, and I was just going to, like, lob one over there. And then I just see you come past me and, like, every word in the book and then just popping a ball. And I was like, oh, we're doing this.
It was just like,
here we go.
Brett finished the shootout thing. We finished our celebration. That's, like, I turned the benches and just saw a green helmet and just was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be here. So then Ron John was just like with the ball. I'm like, give me the ball, give me the ball. He was like, what? Dude, Ron John panicked and just flipped the ball. So I grabbed my hand and just
way to go, Ron.
Hummed it. Yeah. Hummed it and that put that one past his head. And
he didn't leave.
No, he stood there stunned. Yeah. And that's why I picked up another one with my stick this time. And that one was what hit him in the head with that one. And then water bottle squirted him in the face. And then all the words in the book and took the water bottle to the chin as well.
To be honest with you, after that, I was like, oh, we're going to pump these guys.
Like, I thought opposite kind of gave them fuel too. Like, I was like, this is going to get ugly. Like,
that fired me up too. I was like, yo, that's just disrespectful, man. Like, you guys don't understand
there's etiquette to it.
Yeah. Like, listen, if it was 9 o'clock and we're on there, you know, it is what it is. Like, there's tons of times where.
If it was 8:52, I'll give you, but it was.
Yeah, like, all right, we got to get off. 100%.
A minute, 30 seconds.
And it's like, man, there's so many times where, you know, we're second onto the floor and they're on for an extra minute or two. And it's like, yeah, okay, we'll chill, wait. Like, we still going to have, we'll be on probably, you know, 7 minutes early. They might stay on for another 6 minutes, like whatever it is, right? Like, so I was like, yo, I think we're going to pump these guys. And then we lost.
Dang it.
So I was like, ah. But then obviously going into game three, crazy. I mean, obviously game two, I was struggling. You know, I took two penalties in the last bit, or one early.
One was a very questionable call
that they scored, and then one was, and this ate at me too. Was at the, we were up by one in the fourth, like 9 minutes left or something like that, and JT was giving us crap about not picking hard and not picking and doing all that stuff. So I'm trying to do it. He's asking me to do, and I just end up coming up and picking them, and my stick rides up. And my glove ends up hitting him in the face, and they call me for a cross check or whatever it was. And I'm like, man, like, that's tough. And then of course they score on it, and then they go on a run, and then we end up losing by two. And it's like, that's the most frustrating thing for me personally, is knowing that like I was the reason why we lost that game, or a big part of that. So going into game three, I'm like, man, I gotta figure this the hell out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, also not to mention, their media and things that their players were saying, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, they're very confident, cocky. And you know what? I think we have been in the past, like, pretty confident, cocky to an extent. And I feel like you need to be. They remind us a lot, like, ourselves, to be honest.
The year we lost to Colorado. Like,
yeah.
That year of just, like, where we thought our
but, instinct. Yeah, like, right. And their media people are definitely – pretty funny with that stuff, but we got to give credit where credit's due. I think our media guys quite a bit better. So shout out Kurt. You know what? You are creative. The Vancouver one with the brim, the broom. Sorry. Oh my goodness. So that's pretty good. And
but then Sass like countered back with that one. You see that? No. After game two, they're like, it was something about not bringing your brooms or something like that. Yeah.
Really?
So, like,
yeah. And to be honest, like, I don't know. I love being cocky. I love being, you know, confident in who you are and believing you're going to win and do all that stuff. I've never been someone that's going to, like, no matter if it's lacrosse, any sport, period, to guarantee a championship and a win is like, oh, you're, listen. Like
some Mark Messier in 1994.
Yeah, like, you got to be, it's ballsy. You got to be cut different to do that and then win.
You know, we love playing at home. Our fans are great, and it's home floor, you know. It's a pride thing, and it's an energy thing, and we just grind for 60 minutes, and home or away, we're going to take that championship next weekend.
It's tough to do that and then lose.
Yeah.
And even the, I think it was Boudreaux said something about the fans.
Yeah.
The fan is not going to come set a pick on us.
Yeah, it's not like anyone in the crowd is going to come set a pick on us or anything, so I could care less about them.
You got Big Kuna coming in there setting a pick. Yeah. Big Brian Kuna.
I think it's safe to say our fans set a pretty big pick game three. I feel like their presence, just being loud and crazy, kind of definitely gave us the motivation that we needed to kind of thing. But that is a weird thing to say. I get where he's coming from, but like, you just can't do that because it just gives us like the opportunity,
especially when you know it's going to be probably a sellout.
Yes,
ends up being a sellout, like, right, how our fans are. Like, yeah, if there's one fan base in the NLL I'm not say something about, yeah, it's probably ours.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. I wouldn't question if a fan jumped the friggin'
that would happen. Absolutely would happen.
Oh yeah.
All right, let's talk about you, Josh, for once. All right,
there it is.
I know you wanted.
You want to watch this goal?
Just so we're aware, we're kind of going through what to put on here for videos and stuff like that. And Josh, like, put my goal on there. And we're like, which one? And he's like, this one. So this is why it's up there. And it wasn't my first choice, but I thought we'd talk about you guys, but he wanted to talk about himself. So let's see this, Josh.
Let us interview you.
Let's talk about it.
All right. So bully ball and right to the net. Scores and takes a penalty.
Another penalty.
talk us through this.
What do you want to know?
I want to know your thought process. On turning your game a little bit. You know what? Everybody's saying Josh Bruin can't score, or he hasn't scored all playoffs, and was a little bit hesitant. And then this game, you're just like, you know what? Nobody can guard me. I'm going to the net and I'm putting this in the net. And it got us fired up, that's for sure. And then you run the goalie. Yeah. But yeah, just walk us through your thought process through this goal.
I mean, like I told you, like in that game too, I was frustrated myself. And that entire week leading up to it, like it was just trying to get myself ready. But also, like, you know, there's a moment when Klooch kind of walked up to me and just looked me dead in the eyes and was like, when are you going to let the dog off the leash? And, you know, it took me a little bit to be like, I guess I've been playing pretty, like, you know, laid back, not necessarily laid back, but like when we have so much good talent on our team, it's like, you know, and like you're hot. Like I want to get you the ball. I want to make sure you're doing well. I want to make sure you're doing your crazy stuff too. And get you the rock and the whole thing. And like, you know, it took that, took you saying that to me to be like, okay, I also need to kind of take that on the chin and get going. So,
I got to watch, I was watching game two and like you were hands-free right in front of the net and you weren't shooting. And I was just like, this guy, like he's in his own head right now and like just trying to facilitate more than just be you. And that's that dog, that guy that no one can guard. And I saw it. And then even in practice, I was still seeing it. And I was like, I got to say something.
Well, also, I don't know if this is why you're asking this question, but I'll bring it up. The text you sent before the game kind of went through like each player on our team and like what they bring and who they are. And I remember reading it about Josh. And it's like, you play cocky, like you're unguardable, like go do you kind of thing. And
there's probably three moments. And first was that one. Second was a call of my mom, and my mom brought it up to me and was like, well, stop going to your spot, stop doing this, stop doing that. And I'm like, how do you know I have a spot? Like, what are you talking about? Like,
wild things, man.
Right? And a lot of it was similar to what JT was telling me too. And I was kind of pissed. And I was like, damn, like, all right, like maybe I need to figure this out on my own. So like leading up to it, I was already in a different mindset. And then obviously you sent out the text and it was like, it kind of just happened. So you know, chronologically well, that like everything was leading up to the perfect moment. And then, you know, that goal, the other part about it was like, I think I told you while we were shooting, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna attack him from lower, I'm gonna try to get a little bit lower, back him in a little bit, and see what happens from there, just to, you know, so they can't pressure the top, they can't do all that stuff. And that moment was like, I don't care who's playing me, I'm getting to the rack. And then I spear the goal in the face of my own. But the reason why I wanted this to be brought up was, I don't understand. This one is tough because I literally spear him in the gut. But like, at what point, like, this is not a great example. But there's tons of them where like I feel like you've had penalties where like you're going through the crease and you're not, and he like dives out of the way. Or you've had it even against Rosie.
Yeah, Dane's the bad one.
Like, I don't get that call. Like, if you're trying to avoid the goalie and he slides into the way, like, how, if he's outside of like his posts and are getting, it's like, how is that a penalty?
That's a tough call in game three of the finals. Like, you're going to the far post.
Yeah. And he comes, and he comes with,
that's an empty net. You're not hitting the post though. You're not running into the post, I don't think.
Yeah,
it's outside of it.
Yeah.
Also, and again, it's game three. Like, I'd rather play and not have penalties and like deal with it and figure out how the game's gonna be officiated.
Yeah.
But, like, if that's a penalty, what about the two that happened on you right there?
Yeah.
Your helmet almost coming off and then getting held as well.
Right. Yeah. It's like, they should at least wash out at that point. But yeah, it is.
Those two go. You got to let one go.
Watch the replay and just null the whole thing. Yeah. It's a wash.
Yeah.
Full stands.
Call it a day.
We talked about, obviously, Klooch toughing out game one. We got to talk about Klooch toughing out game three. Obviously, game time decision. I don't know how he did it. I was like, there's no way he's going to play game three. There's just no way. And he did. I know Mickey's mentioned this many times in the press, and like the dedication he had for that week, going to physio 2-3 times a day. You kind of looked like Josh and I were always on the table that much. But it was awesome to see. And it's just kind of crazy that you came back from that kind of type of injury and what was it, Memorial Day Klooch?
Memorial
Day Klooch. That guy does not miss. So it was pretty cool. Special moment, obviously, once he got the nod, we knew he was going to have a big game, and he definitely delivered throughout that. So, yeah,
it's Mr. Memorial
Day. Oh, Mr. Memorial
Day. I remember, get it right, get it right. I remember, I don't know if it was lunch or breakfast, but we were talking about, it was Memorial Day and the national championship was going on, and obviously throwback Thursday, you going off and winning for UNC there, and then you saying, like, jokingly, like, being what? Like, oh, they call me Mr. Memorial Day for a reason. Like,
I just got the nod from JT, and I came into the boys. I was like, oh, they do call me Mr. Memorial Day.
Well, let's watch that goal, if you don't mind clicking on that thing.
Your legs cracked me up with this one.
Like,
toes up.
Shoot it. Nope. Tuck. And you jump off the bad ankle. What are you thinking, buddy?
I wasn't thinking.
That was the highest, like, I've seen you jump to. And that was crazy. Like,
the toe point. The toes, like, get right up there.
Like, but, like, you can tell it's, like, still a weird jump. But, yeah, I don't know. Adrenaline is a hell of a drug. Yeah. But, like... I was running in, and I was like, I'm one-on-one with the goalie. He's at the top of his crease. I got to get it over him somehow.
See, like, if he was running out, personally, if he was going like that, when he's backing him, shooting that ball, personally. Yeah, or reaching around him.
Yeah.
I said I was beating him there.
Yeah. So I know. Yeah.
He did.
I give you credit. That was amazing.
You obviously wanted to play in that game bad.
Yeah.
What did you say? Did you say anything to coach about it? Like,
well, he came up. And I think the decision the night before at practice was that I wasn't playing because, like, you could tell by, like, we were doing 6-on-5 and powers and stuff, and Clay was in and I wasn't. And then the next morning he came up to me and he was like, where are you at? And he was like, Ryan says you're at, like, 75 to 80. I said, well, I'd say I'm at 90 and then another night of rest. And with my brace that was, like, coming on game day, I was like, I'll be at 100. Like, I'm ready. And then I did tell him, I was like, you're in a tough spot. I know that if I go down in this game, like, I'm screwing the boys. So, like, whatever you decide, I'm good with. And, like, I'll take on that role wholeheartedly. And then he came back and told me I'm in. And I just got fired up and like, walked through that morning and, like, ankle started to feel better just from here.
It's absolutely fine.
And then at lunch, I'm leaving. I went to grab my lunch to go because I wanted to go home and ice my ankle.
And 100%.
I'm walking out of the lunchroom and JT runs up and taps me on the shoulder. He goes, if I'm making the wrong choice, let me know now. I was like, I'm good. Like, I'm going. I'm good. And then that was it. And then I knew that from that point on, like, I just had to, like, not think about it and just go out there and play. And to be honest, like, the whole game, I didn't feel it, but maybe not that night, maybe not the next day, but the Monday after that, I felt it, let me tell you.
What'd you feel more, your ankle or your hangover?
Weirdly, my ankle.
So that's all it takes. I'm going to start rolling my ankle before I drink.
Okay, here we go. We got another little highlight reel moment from our good buddy 95. How we doing? One hand behind the back.
Vulnerable again?
Yep.
Oh, and I somehow know where the camera is.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And again, like,
momentum.
Why not fake and go far?
He's all over. Because he's coming with me.
Who's coming with you?
Frankie.
But then why don't you go dip it back?
Because that hasn't been working on him for a bit, the dipping thing. Okay, so the ordinary stuff that I do is different.
He's psycho.
I'm just jealous. I can't do it. That's why I say it.
How do you know the camera is?
When you celebrate. That's cool. You're always staring at the camera.
Go back to play it again. Why take your hand off your stick?
Yeah, you can go.
Two hands behind your back.
Bad shoulder. This one doesn't want to come around. I'll get her. Just throw
this
it.
This is what made you famous. This is what made you famous.
But, like, actually, though, like, yeah, he bumps you, but, like,
no, he doesn't know. It's cool. It's
hilarious.
It's just the first thing that comes to mind. It was like, crazy. Oh, pressure here. You want to take this hand?
I think at one point when he went behind the back, he yelled, "Pat McAfee."
Oh, I'll see you on Tuesday.
Yeah. No, but that's really cool. We're super proud of you. Honestly, you deserve it.
Good pass on that one too. Thanks, Dave.
Oh, you're very welcome, man. I was hoping you would say that. Yeah.
Everybody, no one
can. I'll step into them next year. But.
There he is.
No, it's really cool. And you deserve to be on that show. You should have brought the boys on with you, but it's okay.
Should have been. Could have been.
All
I got nervous, man. I was scared.
Bullabots. I was like, what did this guy start speaking like?
Yeah, when he was saying, talk about the bandits, so he would say bandits in the Irish accent. I'm just like, get on this. You gotta meet Kevin. Like, yeah.
We meet what is a must. And I know, obviously, this is about you guys that we brought on site. But we have to talk about Vino's performance in the second half. Like, what the heli? What the heli? Is that like
the heli? What the heli?
Is that the new thing? Heli.
You know?
That was unbelievable, and I'm not surprised. I remember seeing him in the locker room after the first half, taking off his pads, and I don't notice things, but I was like, does he always do this? I had no idea, but I remember seeing it, and it was obviously a reset, and that's a great reset. Holy smokes.
You have to have some absolute cojones to be like, all right, I'm resetting myself and taking my pads off. He doesn't do that normally.
Okay. I don't know.
Has a bad start or whatever.
Yeah. He does it?
Yeah, that's what he does. Okay. He takes everything down, like pads off. And
I should start doing the same. Yeah. For his bad first half.
He's like back. He's like,
it's the whole second half.
With the amount of pads I have on?
How long you take to get dressed.
That's true.
Which is insane. That's, you know, he's had two games in the playoffs that he's held teams to zero goals in the second half. Yeah, first in San Diego, and then
he's legit. People say about people talk about him being the greatest goalie of all time. We need to start telling him he's the greatest lacrosse player of all time, like literally, because I feel like, selfishly as an offensive player, all of us we get a lot of recognition, right? And D guys definitely don't, and goalies do at times, I guess you could say, but Vino deserves have that title to be the best goalie. The best goalie of all time, but the best player of all time. I think he marked it after that game.
I mean, it's like, no matter what, like, you can be a great offensive player, you can be a great defensive player, but the most important person is the guy between the pipes. 100%. And that to me is like, you can't, like, that's what changed our trajectory as a team. You know, you look 5 years back is when he came.
Yeah.
And I remember me and you were sitting there, and when he decided to sign with us, I was like, we got a chance now. We got a chance.
We went from a good team to a great team. And what's the statistics? How many championships in how many years?
I've been to 5-5.
Not you.
Not me.
I know you know Vino's.
Well, you pointed at me.
Sorry.
Vino's. He's won half the championships he's been in 10, and he's won more. He's won six championships. He's won, and he's been to 10.
That's crazy.
How many years in the league?
19.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's been in the championship
more times. Yeah, more than
but like time. To the like since he's been in Buffalo, like yeah. Him and I came at the same time, and it's five championships, won three.
I also came at that time.
A little late, but you got me.
5-5, that's ridiculous, boys. All of you guys obviously have some pretty crazy statistics. Yeah. Obviously, we had a bad year the first year you guys came, right? Thank God. And then you guys struggled with me a little bit, so it was pretty cool. But it's just remarkable to see, like, I mean, people talk about how stacked we are and stuff like that, but for Chugger and Scott to like bring in the right group, and like also like people don't realize we drafted half our team. We built the team that we did. Yes, we brought in some key pieces, Vino being the biggest one for sure, and bringing Paul Dawson and Matisse and whatnot. But like a lot of our guys, like our core group, I guess you could say, are all draft picks. And obviously you got traded, but like I consider that a draft pick as well. It's pretty cool to like kind of realize that.
It's unreal, like, and people don't give enough credit to Chugs. Like, it's insane what he's done, and
it's incredible.
Even this year, man. Even this year, you know, bringing in Moose and Ron. Like,
this isn't fantasy football. This is real, real stuff.
Like, every year, it's kind of been that though. The deadline will bring in like somebody who's like Paulie last year. That just like his first time talking in the dressing room, the whole atmosphere changed.
He's just a glue.
And I hope it doesn't happen this year, obviously. But you think when Vino does retire, do they change the goalie of the year award to his name?
The Matt Vincent. Absolutely.
And yeah, and you know what? We obviously I pointed at you earlier about the five championships in 5 years, and I wasn't talking about you, but we need to talk about your MVP performance. I'm jealous. But realistically,
dude, the memes thing, it was hilarious. So good. Hello, memes thing, like Dane and Josh watching. You even get the finals MVP. We're just like,
so no, but honestly, like, I know we kind of talked about it after you not winning an award for Transition Player of the Year or whatever, which you're not Transition Player of the Year, so whatever. But but like, nice. You just like, you kept your head down, you kept working, and you deserved it. Like, you and Vino were like one and two by all means. And like, I know we haven't really discussed it, but we're like extremely proud of you, to be honest. And yeah, you're like, that was an amazing playoff performance.
Yeah, and it's crazy because like, and I spoke to the media a lot about you with just your preparation and everything that's kind of changed over the last like couple years. And it's been really cool to watch and see you really like take pride in everything that you're doing throughout the week and in your routine. And I think it's really the blueprint of, if you want to be great at something, like, you got to make sure your routine's dialed. You know, watching you step up, and people are like, oh, at the beginning of the year, like, how's Ian leading you guys in goals and whatnot? I'm like, dude, he's lighting it up. Like, what are you talking about? And to see you do it all the way through the season and into the finals was unreal. It took a lot of pressure off, I know, for
I can't wait till you get double teamed next year. Yeah. That's all we're saying. Everybody's saying that. Everybody's looking at that. Come on.
Cover this.
Yeah. It wasn't me anyways, but you
do. Go throw it behind the back.
Go to four.
Did you know you're getting the finals MVP? Did you get a feeling?
I mean, people had like talked about it, and obviously like in the back of your head, you know, like obviously I was having a good playoffs, but I'm pretty like technically it's like finals MVP, and I had a good first game and not as good of a second and third game as I had the rest of the playoffs. Like, Dane kind of came out game two and three, obviously Vino. And then like the talks about whether it's Vino being close to retirement or whatever. So I kind of thought it might be him. Bless you. But it like, once I heard my name, it was like, wow, it's kind of crazy. Like, yeah. You don't actually like, until you hear it, like you don't actually think like, it'll happen. And then everyone's pumping me up and stuff. And I decided not to fix my hat. I don't know if that's where you're going. Yeah.
The like picture of you like this.
Yeah. Where am I?
That's the best. That's the best.
Yeah. But
we got to play this video of the final couple seconds, because it's the final seconds of the game. It's a celebration. And it's just like, gives me chills looking at this, to be honest, watching this. All those 19,000 fans. Vino happy, he doesn't get happy.
Feral.
Yeah, goosebumps.
Yeah, no, seriously, me too.
How about Spanger running
there? Yeah, getting a
jog. Oh my God, he is.
Yeah. Jogging there, this is right on.
Let's go. I'm just hugging somebody on the back. Wow.
It doesn't feel real.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't feel real.
You want to talk about impressive is Dilf. 3 for 3.
3 for 3, yeah. Wires?
3 for 3.
Wires is crazy. I think he's got PLLs.
He's got two PLLs.
Two PLLs.
Two, three NLLs.
Five for five.
5 for 5. That's winners win.
So sweet.
Pretty insane to watch it again. What a beast.
Talk about MVP, Brett Swenson.
Brett Swenson.
Yeah.
Or Teddy.
Teddy. Yeah. No, that was something to be, you know, something you'll remember for the rest of your lives, right? Like, you know, to be, you know, the second team in history to have a three-peat is pretty insane.
So why not go for four, right?
That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. And I would love to end this now.
What do you say?
I would love to end this now, but we do have to discuss something.
Watch your kids.
We do need to bring this up a little bit because I'm going to give you the floor to clear the air after we watch this. You can't say anything until we watch it. All right.
I mean, get ready for this bus that's coming.
No bus. Train.
No, what did I say?
I was trying to throw the mic. I was trying to.
All right, so one more time.
Oh my god.
Hold on. Yeah.
I try to turn the volume down. Every time I watch this, I try to like explain it in my head, but like people don't know my explanation.
Look at you smiling. Look at you smiling and knowing what you're about to do. Oh. You get Josh in the back.
The best is when you guys look at each
other. You don't even know. You turn.
Not yet. I don't know what I'm doing.
Dude, and you and Weezer?
I just looked at him like.
It's bad. We're laughing. Okay, we're laughing, but.
The kid's all right.
Okay.
The kid's okay. Yes. The kid's okay.
Thankfully, because that could have been
so
very, very
I'm going to explain myself. Number one, no kids should be on stage. No. But in all seriousness, like, it was kind of crazy. Obviously, I do my normal speech and then I sing my song, our song. It's just my song because it's not my song, our song. And then at the end of it, we chant Bandits on Three. So in my head, I feel like I nailed the song and everybody was just going crazy. I'm like, I need to do something. I need to end this. How do I end this? And in my head, I was like, okay, mic drop. And then I was like, no, that's not that cool. So I was like, okay, I'm going to throw this mic into the stands.
Could have been so
much worse. As that happened,
even crazier.
Obviously, Klutsch is putting a guy on the platter, like I was teeing off on 18 right down the middle. And it's just crazy to think about because if I was throwing a mic, you would think I'd go underhand and then throw it back. But for some reason, I went overhand and right through. And the kid happened to be right there. So
the timing was
the timing had perfect. To be perfect because like
you could have hit him in the head with the right. mic or like
it's hilarious that you just don't even see him walk right beside you.
No idea. No. Yeah, what was I looking at? And it's scary because like obviously there's some younger kids on there. I've actually coached about against Keegan. I probably just didn't want him to play against us in the finals the next day, but he's totally fine. He's probably going to take my house and my car. He's probably going to sue me, but no, I'm just,
and your boss. Yeah,
my wife doesn't know that yet. She might leave me as well. So, it's a scary moment and, it sobered me up real quick for sure. But I just want every fan to know that he is okay.
Get him a jersey.
One thing I will say is like, kudos to his athleticism.
Because yes, 100%.
My fiance had the video. She was sitting right in front of that happening, and she was taking. I have the video on my phone from that angle, and you see him just miss like the smoke sprayer or like the confetti sprayer, and then you see him like he should go head first, but somehow he lands on his feet.
Yeah,
and like. Was totally fine.
Yeah. He was just embarrassed. He was embarrassed. Yeah. Yeah. He was the tough part. Yeah.
But I will say, I will take some fault on that. Like, first of all, that is Ryan, our trainer's kid. Ryan is a beauty. Me and him have been like this for many years. And I saw Keegs back there at the back of the stage, and he had a shirt in his hand like he wanted to throw it but couldn't get up to the front. So I went and grabbed him. I was like, let's go throw the shirt. Let's go throw the shirt.
Look at how excited he is.
But you see me, my hand is literally on his back here, and I'm pushing him up there, and Dane literally just nails him out of my hand. Like,
I bet you thought.
Literally, like I had a T-ball in my hand.
He still got the newspaper throw off, too, which is impressive.
Which, to be honest with you, like, thankfully, it was Keith. Like, it wasn't Bo. Yeah. It wasn't one of the girls. You know what I mean? Like. And what's kind of funny is like, watch Vino after this, like
grabs Bo.
He sees it and then he looks down and goes, "Oh, let me grab Bo." Yeah. He's like, "Let me grab Bo."
No one's safe.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
just sacrificing kids at this point, like whatever we got to do for three.
Well, you know what? I'm glad we cleared the air, and it was important for me to do so, because I feel like I was getting some backlash a little bit from fans, or I don't really know. Not it wasn't too bad.
Kid off the
yeah,
stage.
Yeah.
He's like, well, yes, but no. Like, but I'm glad he's good. I'm glad that, you know, obviously, thankfully, he's very athletic, and you know, obviously, another part of, like, Ryan was great about it too. Like, he got it, and he knew you obviously didn't throw Keegs off the stage on purpose. And I think he was just glad he's safe. And yeah, I guess we're gonna have to get him a jersey.
Ryan texted me on the Monday, and he just out of nowhere, like nothing said before that, and he just texted me. He goes, "Why was the hardest hit Dane made all year on my kid?"
Oh goodness! Yeah, he I text him to clear things up. That is good. I text him to clear things up in the morning. I was like, "Oh, is he okay?" He's like, "Oh, he's totally fine." He's like, "Honestly, he could be worse." Or like, "I wish he was more injured because I'm hungover at his baseball game right now." So, before we end things, and any fun plans for this summer, or anything going on this summer, Clute, you start, and we'll go around.
Yeah, no, just got engaged, so got some wedding planning to do.
Yeah,
that's always fun, and our lists are getting out of control already.
Yeah. Good luck, buddy. It's just that's the easy part.
We got some talking to do. So it's going to be heavy wedding planning and heavy golf, which, speaking of which, I just missed my tee time, so someone here owes me something. Maybe call the course, get me out there
Yeah,
later.
We can still go. We can go to the next hole.
All right.
We're good.
Yeah, we just had a nice little trip to Long Island. I mentioned earlier, got a lot of golf. I also got engaged, so got some wedding planning as well. Right into playing as well. Us three up in Six Nations, so pretty busy summer. Got weekends back this year, which is nice. So maybe some trips up home. I haven't been home in a while, and see family, that kind of thing. So I'm sure it'll be a busy summer.
Go ahead, Chase.
Yeah, golf a lot. Got playing. Got Allegheny Arrows. Started up there. Played last week.
Practice tonight.
And me and Chris, yeah. We were doing that this summer. Yeah, man, it's fun. Hanging with the boys, throw the ball around. Just play some
Sometimes
laps.
It's outside at the outdoor rink. It's nice.
Cool.
Relax.
No, I just get eaten by bugs. Mosquitoes just get at you.
How about you?
Not a whole lot, man. Just playing for Six Nations now, which has been fun. You know, continuing to try to find our next real estate investment with the wifey, and yeah, try to figure it out. I know. I'm guessing this is why you brought it up.
It's smart.
It's all right, podcast over. Thanks.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Be a quarterback in 15 minutes.
Obviously, playing Six Nations this summer, and more importantly, I am opening a bar. I'm opening a bar this July, August. Called Sandbaggers in Hamburg. So for all you people that like to golf or like drinks, it's going to be a golf bar, three bays and two bars. So we can celebrate there, and I hope you guys can make it. But
must be 21. No kids on the bar.
That's for sure. We get free rounds there?
No. You guys pay double, actually.
Perfect.
Because I know you guys are rich from the playoff pay. But
I mean... Joke's on you, but you're just going to come to your house and hit out of your basement.
Yeah, so. you could also do that. Like, where are the boys? Where are the boys? But that's the last episode of this year's Dane and Josh show. There will be more. I can promise you that. And we want to obviously thank our sponsor, Milk for Health. We wouldn't be where we are without strong bones. Am I right? Anybody want to sip with me, man, or no?
All right. Cheers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got a glass.
Make sure to follow along for next year. Follow us on all socials or wherever you guys get your podcasts. And that's it.
Hopefully we'll see you same time next year.
Same time next year.